Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Paul Leslie. Paul and Heidi Leslie are the owners of Humboldt Honey Wine. Now, Paul, how did you get interested in bees and making honey wine?
Well, the bees, I've always been interested ever since I was a kid. One of my grandmother's neighbors in San Jose had bees, and some got loose, and I watched him at 8 years old. I was watching him just collect them with no bee suit or anything. And so I spent the entire summer going around picking up bees and stuff. And so it's something I've always been interested in. My sister-in-law actually mentioned the Beekeepers Association a few years ago. And so I decided to join, and then it just kind of snowballed from there.
All this honey, and you're like, what do I do with all this honey now?
Yeah, well, it's kind of funny. My son got me a beer-making kit for Christmas a couple of years ago because I've always wanted to make my own beer. And I made the worst tasting beer you've ever had. It was.
But it didn't stop you.
No, it wasn't even good to marinate steak, so we just dumped it out. And then we had some honey, and I thought, you know, why not? It's part of my Celtic heritage, my Scottish heritage. So we made some, and some friends tried it, and they encouraged me to, you know, enter it into a tasting competition, and we did really well. So we spent about a year and a half getting a license to open it because we had the honey, and it's just gone from there.
So your friends have been your tasters.
Yeah, friends and family are the guinea pigs.
Uh-huh. And really, it's a pretty simple process. Making mead, I think, is different than making beer.
Well, there's a lot of similarities. There's a lot of methods for making mead. The really large commercial mead makers, they do it with modern technology, modern methods. And I don't think the product that they produce is really what people are looking for. There's a few meaderies that are going back to the traditional methods, but using modern equipment. And it's really producing an amazing product. On the East Coast, mead is the fastest growing segment of the wine industry right now.
Wow. Yeah. I hear a lot about hard cider, but I didn't realize that mead was growing so rapidly as well.
Right. A lot of that is because companies are going back to the old methods. There's a real distinct method. When the large batch companies make it, they mix the honey and water to a weak must, and once the alcohol content gets where they want it, they kill the yeast using sulfites, and then they add honey back to it to make it sweeter. And that's back sweetening. Doesn't give you the same flavor. It makes it thick, kind of syrupy, and people don't seem to like that.
I was wondering because I'd had in my mind what mead tastes like, and I tasted your honey wine, and it was unlike what I'd had before. What I'd had was really sweet, and like you said, thick, and it was like drinking honey, and that was just diluted. And yours is much more complex flavors involved with it.
Yeah.
So what is your traditional method?
Well, one, we don't pasteurize the honey. That's the first thing. We use raw honey, and it is honey from our hives. And when you pasteurize honey, the first thing that happens is you burn off a lot of the flavors, the floral essence from the individual flowers. So what you end up with is a generic tasting honey. So we use raw honey. We don't pasteurize. We do use a very specific yeast that we know where the alcohol content's going to end up because it can't go past 14%. So all of our meads are 14%.
Is that set by the state or by the federal government,
well,
the 14%?
When you go to pay your taxes on the wine you make, after 14%, it gets more expensive.
Oh.
But we felt 14% was a nice middle ground. A little history on mead. Every culture claims divinity on mead. Every region of the world, every culture has had mead. And they're very, very different. So when people say, well, I've had it and I don't like it, I encourage them to try ours because an English mead is 4% alcohol. It's very watered down. They add hops to it to make it a little bit bitter. And so it's more like a beer, a flat beer. Ethiopian mead is called Taj, and it's 28% alcohol.
Wow.
But it's also very thick. It's like a heavy liqueur.
Oh, and, okay.
Some people really like that. Ours is a Celtic or a Scottish style mead. It's right in the middle at 14%, and I think it's a really nice balance.
Uh-huh. And it's not syrupy sweet at all, and it just really has good flavor. Yeah, you guys have done a good job getting to that point.
Thank you.
How do you make mead or honey wine? Or actually, that's a really good question to ask. Is there a difference between mead and honey wine, or is it just two names for the same thing?
It's two names for the same thing. Again, with so many people trying different regional meads, we wanted a name that would get people interested in trying something that they haven't tried before. Because they say, oh, well, I've had mead, I don't like it. Well, again, try ours, because it's different. People that know what mead is, that are traditional mead drinkers, they come to us right away because they know what honey wine is. They know that's what it is. But we get a lot of questions, especially at the farmers markets. We get a lot of questions, you know, what's the difference? And so it gives me an opportunity to talk about it, which I love to do.
Yeah, right. Once you get people in the door, then you start that conversation. But if they're going to see the sign mead and they think they've already had it and they don't like it, they're just going to walk on by. That was a really good marketing idea. How do you get like a dry, a semi-sweet, or a sweet mead? What are the differences in process?
With ours, it has everything to do with the ratio of honey and water. Because we know yeast is going to stop fermenting at 14%, we can measure the density of the liquid, which tells us how much sugar is present. And when I say sugar, I mean honey. We don't add sugar to our mead at all. So we know that once it hits 14%, we know how much residual sweetness is going to be left. So if we want to dry, we just make sure that when it's done fermenting, there's nothing left. If we want something very sweet, we just start with more
honey.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Okay. And now, are you able to get all of your honey locally, or are you having to purchase honey from out of the area?
When we do test batches, we buy honey from other beekeepers, simply because our honey takes the bees a while to make it, so we don't want to waste the local honey on that. But predominantly it's ours. Because we're new and we're just, you know, starting, so far we've been lucky enough to have honey. One of the things that I do is rescue bees, and one of the methods that we rescue them is when we do what we call cutouts, where we actually have to open up the wall of a building and get an established hive out. And those established hives are just gold mines. I mean, they're usually just loaded with
honey.
For
you, they're a gold mine. They're scary for the person who owns the building.
Yeah. But we did one, the batch that we're selling at the farmer's market right now, the honey from that was predominantly from a cutout that I did in Rio Del. I think Rio Del produces some of the best honey in the world. It's just a nice blend of wildflowers. And that's, our honey is all wildflower honey. We don't use what they call a monofloral honey. So it's not just clover. It's not just alfalfa. It's just a blend of everything.
Yeah, I was wondering, you know, about that. Sometimes when I bought honey, I'm not sure I could tell the difference between clover and the wildflower. But you think that there really is a big difference.
There is a big difference if you try raw honey. If you try, again, companies that sell honey in the store have to pasteurize the honey. To sell raw honey, it has to be person to person. So farmers markets.
Oh, okay.
And you have to be careful because there's some companies out there that their company name lends people to believe that it's a local honey, and it's not. So you want to make sure that you're dealing, you know, farmers markets are the best place to buy honey because it has to be local. It's almost always raw. And when you taste raw honey, different varieties, you will definitely taste a difference, huge difference.
Okay. Where are you selling your honey wine now?
Well, right now, Libations in Arcata has it. Tees Cafe North sells it by the glass, and they do some mimosas with it. Siren Song Tavern in Eureka, they've been a big supporter of ours. We love those guys. They sell a lot of our wine. The Tip Top Club has it, and they sell it by the glass. But other than that, it's the farmer's market. Our first batch was so small, we really couldn't afford to spread it out, and we really couldn't afford to start with a big batch because we didn't know how well it would be received.
So what is a small batch for you guys?
Anywhere between 250 and 500 bottles. So anywhere between 50 and 100 gallons.
And what are your plans for the future? What would you like to be producing?
Well, we're actually going to start bottling on a 1,500 bottle batch. I thought 500 bottles would last us through the summer, and that wasn't the case.
Okay. So it's been great today learning a little bit about Humboldt Honey Wine. Paul Leslie has been our guest. Thank you so much for coming up.
Thank you.
Grapes and the cakes, hey, come on to my house, come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.